Welcome to Extreme Faith with Dr. Gerard Curry, Senior Pastor of Tradition Worship Center in beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida.
This is my Bible as I look into the perfect law of liberty, the mirror of God's Word. I see myself as God sees me. I am who He said I am. I have what He said I have. I can do what He said I can do. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, living seed of my living God. My heart is receptive. My mind is alert. And I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise God, you may be seated.
Hello, this is Dr. Gerard Curry. Thank you for joining us today. We're picking up where we left off yesterday, and we started looking at the marriage feast at a wedding in Cana in Galilee, where Jesus attended. And we started to find out certain things, and we found out one thing, that when a person got married in Cana, there was a separation for a time after their betrothal or their engagement, and then only the father of the groom knew exactly when they would get married. He knew the day, the date, the hour. Nobody else knew it. Very much like what Jesus had said when he goes back to heaven and they asked him when he's returning, he said, only the Father knows, not even the Son knows. So this is all pertaining to the return of Jesus Christ, together with the wedding, together with Holy Communion. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday and see what the Lord is showing us.
Only the Father knows. And traditional weddings in Cana, probably other areas as in other parts of Jerusalem and Israel, had the same situation going. Maybe even some of the Arab nations outside of there. I don't know. But only the Father knew. Like in the natural wedding of the day in Cana, only the father of the groom and the bride-to-be knew when the wedding would take place. Only God the Father knows. Jesus said, no one else knows the date or the time. Only the Father knows. Not even the Son, he said. Amen. To me, this is huge. This is just so big, it's like mind-boggling. That only the groom's father knew the time they would get married. Jesus was using the culture of the day because they could understand exactly what he was meaning. Exactly. That's why they didn't question him after that. They didn't question, what do you mean only Father knows? Don't you know? They knew exactly what he was talking about because of the culture they lived in and the fact that only the father in the culture would know the day to get married. So they understood what he was talking about. I find this absolutely amazing. And when Jesus had the Last Supper with his disciples, here's how he did it. In Matthew 26, verse 27, New King James. Then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, the disciples, saying, drink from it, all of you. Verse 28, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Then he said an amazing thing in verse 29. But I say to you, I will not drink. Remember we said this before, remember these words. I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When Jesus sat in the upper room and he had the communion elements and he had the bread and he had the wine and he broke the bread and he gave it to each of them and he said, eat, this is my body which has been destroyed and beat up for you, healing and all the good things that God provided for us. And then he said, drink of this cup, which is my blood, which ratifies the new covenant, the new testament, which is going to make you righteous, purify you if you accept it, and make you ready to be my bride. Amen. When he said those words, when he said, and I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine again until I drink it with you in my Father's house. That's exactly what they would say in weddings. So what these guys were hearing, in essence, was their own wedding celebration and reception. They were hearing exactly what happened in their marriages, and they knew exactly where Jesus was going with this and what he meant. We got no clue. Western civilization don't get that. That's why we got Strong's Concordances. And we got things and people that can help us to understand. And that's thank God for archaeologists. I love archaeologists. Amen. They're proving people right a lot of the times and people wrong a lot of the times. And so when the disciples heard those words, they were just talking as a bridegroom to his bride. They were hearing Jesus talking as a bridegroom to his bride. Now for us as men, that's a bit difficult for us to imagine being a bride, but that's exactly what Jesus was meaning. The church, the body of Christ, is to be the bride of Christ. And Jesus, he's saying to each of us, I don't know when I'm coming back. Only my Father knows, but I'm coming back. And they were hearing Jesus talking as a bridegroom to his bride, which was so similar and familiar to their own weddings that they didn't get confused. They knew what he's talking about. And so I'm hoping this is bringing a little bit of light to Asherah now. And they knew it was a promise of a new covenant like their marriage ceremony. He then said, after drinking of the wine, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's when he said it. John 13, verse 36. Simon Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. I'm going to prepare a place for you. You can't come now, but you're going to come later. Where I am going to be, you will be also. He's talking about the rapture right there. He's talking about Jesus' second coming right there. In a wedding. In a wedding with communion, explaining the wedding and the rapture and the whole celebration. I think it's absolutely incredible. To eat of the same bread and drink from the same cup was in essence like saying, that which is in you is in me. It is a common union. It is a common union. Communion. No longer two, but one. That's why Paul the Apostle wrote, when the two become married, it is a mystery. It's a mystery, but the two become one. The two become one. The Bible says, when you're born again in Corinthians, your spirit and Christ's spirit are joined together. You're one spirit in Christ. And he's coming back for the bride. When he comes back, we understand that the dead in Christ will rise first. And they which are alive, he says, will be caught up with them. But there's coming the blast of a trumpet. And so now what happens is the father of the groom, who's been preparing for the bride, he's been working on everything, he's got everything ready, now he waits. He waits diligently and he waits pure. And he waits and he waits and he gets up and he does his job for the day and he goes to sleep at night. And nothing happens between. He's waiting and waiting and waiting. And then one day, just one day, the father, this is how it worked in Cana, would say he'd wake his son up, and it would be at night when they woke them up in Cana. He'd wake his son up and he'd say, go get your bride. Go get your bride. That's how it worked. And then the groom would grab a shofar. First thing he would do, grab a shofar and start to blow that shofar over Cana. And so that sounded good, right? So we don't need a shofar anymore. Just pay me one and I'll do it. And so he would blow that thing so all of Cana, the village or the city, would hear it and they'd say, he's here. It's on. And they'd jump up and the celebrations would begin. They'd be dancing in the streets. There would be shofars. There would be instruments. They'd start. And then they would go into the marriage festival. And then they would celebrate for 7 days. 7 days, 7 days. The Bible says, you know, in Daniel, talks about what's going to happen and talks about the 7-day marriage festival in heaven. Yeah. 7 days they would celebrate, party, and have a glorious time. That's communion tied up with what God's talking about, coming again and a wedding, a marriage. I think it's I think it's amazing. I just love it. So when he spoke to them, they were not like, oh, what are you talking about? They knew exactly what he's talking about. When Paul spoke about the weaponry of the soldiers, they knew exactly, you got the breastplate of righteousness on. The soldiers wore the breastplate for protection. He knew exactly what they knew what he's talking about. The helmet of salvation, they understood his terminology because that was the culture of the day and of the time. So they didn't have to say, now hang on a second, come back here, let's talk again. When Jesus spoke and he said, listen, he said to the disciples, he said, a sower goes out and he sows seed on the ground. And some lands on good soil, some lands on bad, some indifferent, some on rotten soil. They came to him afterwards and they said, what are you talking about? Explain that. And he said, if you can't understand this parable, how can you understand anything else in the kingdom? Because I'm talking farming implements and farming ways. And he said to them, the word that was planted, the seed that was planted is the word of God. And they got it. Once he explained, it's the word of God is a seed. They got it. Farming, we understand that, we got this. And then they saw, and if you look at it, really, that means 1 in 4 got saved, according to Jesus. Amen. 25%. So when you tell people about Jesus, some are going to reject and some are not. But they're not rejecting you. Never forget that. They don't reject you. Jesus said if they reject you, they're rejecting me and they reject the one who sent me, the Father. So let's be about our Father's business and tell them it's great to feed children. I'm thrilled about that. 20,000 meals, my God. I'm not cleaning the dishes. That's all I can say. I'll do it at home, but I will not do it at Synergy School of Tomorrow. Amen. I'll throw it out. Get paper plates. But that's a great undertaking. That's brilliant. But when you feed the flesh, also we need to feed the temple, the spirit. And this is a great opportunity, a mission field. That school is a mission field. It's a mission field to show the love of Christ. Get involved in the community, bless people, and let the glory of God be seen. And then you can say, you know, Jesus loves you so much. You see, you don't really have the right to tell people too much about Jesus until you get really a bit of a relationship where they can start to believe and trust you. And what better way than helping them? So I think what the school and my wife are doing is absolutely amazing. And I would encourage all of you, get involved one way or the other, whichever way you can. Get involved in that. Get involved in that because they do chapel. I mean, you can go online on the web page, you can go on Facebook and watch every week they have chapel service and preaching. Am I right? And my wife doesn't stop preaching to the kids anyway. Amen. So this is great, but let me tell you what's great is getting people saved. You know, it's great that you feed them, but if you feed them and stay lost, it didn't really help them or benefit them that much outside of this earth. So we want to be about our Father's business. I want to encourage you to get it in your heart, to start telling people, you know what, the groom is almost on his way back. I wouldn't tell them like that because I think you're nuts. But you know what I'm talking about. The groom is sitting waiting for dad to say, go get your bride. You can tell them that Jesus is coming back. Now, a lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people say he's been coming back for the last 2,000 years, etc., etc. Well, when you look at the sign of the times, Jesus said you won't know the exact hour or the date, but you will know the sign of the times.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Extreme Faith. To hear this message in its entirety, log on to traditionworshipcenter.com or join us for our live services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. with youth and children's services available, located at 10799 Southwest Civic Lane, Port St. Lucie, in our beautiful Tradition Square Town Hall facility.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Dan Post, Lucchese boots, along with Minnetonka, moccasins, and Stetson hats. West of Old England is located in the Bruno